Well, good afternoon, Scott Baker.
Good afternoon, Mikey. It is Saturday. It's the 24th of January. Time for another edition of Lead Better. Talking about the field note entitled today, Think Big, Build Small. And you predicted yesterday, before this was even sort of published, that this would take off only because of the headline.
On the strength of the headline alone, I think what my actual prediction was, the title alone will make this the most shared and liked field note of the month.
Okay. Easily. So not the year. That would be the year so far. Maybe not the biggest in 4 years. But so how is that? So from your prediction to how it's working out, what's the ratio?
It's about the fastest that it's got to this many likes that I've ever seen. So I could have said the biggest of the year, but that wouldn't have been much different than the biggest of the month, of course.
Okay.
But the real thing that showed my confidence is I wanted to place a $200,000 bet on Polymarket to actually see that it would.
Yes. Yes. A lot of people are speculating about field notes distribution on Polymarket. Yeah. Now, how many? I don't know who would have won on. You know, apparently, the Steelers are going to hire the former Dallas coach. Right. As their head coach here. So, you know, there's all kinds of betting that goes on, but that's the big news here in Pittsburgh. Pretty quiet here in Pittsburgh today, given that there's the storm coming, and hopefully all of you are safe and warm wherever you are. So let's talk about this big think big, build small. You were predicting based on the headline alone. Now, in terms of the content of the field note, did you find anything particularly surprising or intriguing to you about this sort of, it says precept, motto, it uses kind of different words in the field note itself. Right. What drew you into it?
It was mainly the idea of the juxtaposition of the field note headline has a tendency to draw people in a little bit more. Now, as to whether or not it's novel or new, I think it's something that people relatively know. But the real issue here is the same thing with most of our admired leadership behaviors. People know about it, but actually putting things like this into practice is a completely different story. And it is always amazing the number of times that people hear an admired leader behavior and they're like, oh yeah, I do that. What they actually mean when they're saying that is I've done that twice before in my life. Therefore I know about it. Mm-hmm. But the actual process of putting these behaviors into your life so that they become inculcated with
that's
your
the
life
challenge. Yeah.
And
very much
really become a behavior, something that would rise to the level of calling it a behavior instead of something I've done before is the real difference. And so something like this, think big, build small, is something that maybe only comes around once every 3 or 4 years, right? In your business, as to like the kinds of things that you're doing probably only needs like you to be reminded to think big, build small once a year,
every
once
now
every
and
2 years.
Yeah. Well, you know, listen, you could, we've talked recently kind of beginning of the year, January, about personal habits and ways we go about things. And you could actually break that down in the same way. I've got this big vision of this person I want to become. It's going to require me to be this kind of person, demonstrate these kind of habits. So rather than try to like take it all on and be overwhelmed, and I don't even start because I am overwhelmed, let me start breaking that down into smaller chunks and say, well, let me build this part of it or work on this part of it and see where we go. Now, that's not exactly what the field note's talking about, but you could make it more of a current thing. But let me posit this idea and see.
Let me ask you first, though, when you started CrossFit, when you start, in your mind, did you adopt the identity of a CrossFitter even before you started CrossFit? Or did you think to yourself, I'm just going to start this thing?
I have to go back. That's like 17, 18 years ago.
Right.
And I've seen a lot of evolution in.
There was some family influence in your personal
motivation? Yeah, my brother's a real high level, CrossFitter and owns a big gym and all of that in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, where they're also getting lots of snow today. I don't even know if maybe they held classes. So in being around sort of fitness, and my brother was a great college athlete and all of that, he's like, well, what are the patterns that sort of make you this kind of a person? And so you can sort of sit there and study and say, well, let me think, what's the ideal exercise? And what's the ideal lifestyle pattern? And what's the ideal way of thinking about it? Let me think through all of the different diets. So should I be in a zone diet? Should I go more Mediterranean? What should I do about paleo? I got to go keto. You could try to do all of that, and then you just never get anywhere.
Which is really the trouble of trying to become this kind of person by way of social media, because you're scrolling through dozens and dozens of different links, and every one of them is coming at you from a different point of view. And so you, once you do that, you're like, well, I need to figure out what the most holistic, best approach is, because I'm going to put this aside. You end up doing all these scattered tactics just because, you know, a handful of influencers told you to do things in a different way. And it will have the tendency to like paralyze you into non-activity, mm-hmm. right? And so I don't know. The think big, build small part for me is like, okay, I understand I need to start with small actions, but there's so many experts that are available to us. 40 years ago, we really didn't have so many experts that were available to us. Now there's so many people who can just kind of posit themselves as experts in social media to know who is and who isn't, who's effective, who's got the track record. Like that takes just as much research that kind of melts you down onto who to think big with, right?
Yeah. Well, look, even beyond that, I think it's a general, probably foundational belief that we shouldn't gain our identity, our worldview, our political sort of framework, philosophical or spiritual understandings from our social media feeds as a general. Now, you should definitely get all of your admired leadership insights from social media and just even obey as we all talk of about this,
it, right? It seems like,
No, I actually, you and I have been around social media since before it was called social media. And I think many of the great connections, relationships, ideas, all of those things, many of those things are a big part of my life because of social media. I think in general, it's not a good way of helping you figure out the world. It is oftentimes a good way of reinforcing things that are very important to you. So that whether you're following a particular person on Instagram, or you get really provocative thoughts from somebody on X, or you're following, you know, this particular YouTube channel, those tend to be things that help you sort of pace and lead your life in the way that you've decided to do it. But probably you didn't come to those things because of those things. Maybe some longer term YouTube content, in the same way that a podcaster who's very influential to you might begin to have that kind of effect on you because of they repeat the same phrases and the same stories over and over again in ways that we would say are very similar to how we would sit around the campfire 50,000 years ago. So, but let me suggest this. So in this field note about this idea of we want to think big, but we have this inertia that happens because we're thinking big, right? I'm going to go climb Mount Everest. Well, you got to get to the base camp first. You got to figure out, well, what's it take to get to the base camp? And you got to work through all of those different stages. And so by saying, well, let's not overthink this and let's start building the small components of this that will help build the stages of it and say, all right, well, let me start by doing this and get busy on that. And maybe you haven't even fully figured out the whole how I'm going to get to the top of the mountain thing, but we're already in motion. That's basically the admonition of the field note, which is great. Now, I think some people will, you have a think big, build small. And then you also have sometimes a motto that's out there. There's a book called this, Start Small, Scale Fast. Right? Okay, we got something going. Now let's get that, you know, scaling fast. The one thing I will say, In terms of my own experience over, you know, 40 years of work life and having done dozens of projects, lots of them, you know, very successful, a couple of things that I would have wished had gone better, I tend to be fairly methodical about the kinds of things that I'm thinking about doing. I will try to kind of put them into motion, but most of the time when I see people sort of fall apart on projects around me or in my competitive space, it's like, because I could just say you're going in the wrong direction. Like, your think big part wasn't thought through carefully enough. And now you're so busy. You're trying this and you're trying this and you're trying this. And so these are not, I would say in Annie Duke terms, the right kind of small bets. I think the best Annie Duke type people and the best business leaders are the ones who are kind of have a really thoughtful way of thinking about what the think big part is. Then they're, and build small doesn't mean build super fast and try to, No, you might be methodically building small. And that's where people just sort of give up, right? I've been successful because I've stuck to certain patterns that I thought my judgment said, keep going, and you're going to figure this out along the way. And I think there's a balance there. So I didn't want people, from my reading of the field note, to assume that just because we're trying to overcome inertia means that the build small part has to be sort of frenetic. Because it doesn't.
Right. You're right. Okay. So challenge the idea that I had earlier that you only do this once a year. Like we've got a giant goal inside of our own firm that we reach a certain level of number of users to our online coaching product called Alex, right? Mm-hmm. And so we want to introduce that to as many different people. It was a goal that was stated that mm-hmm. that seemed like a large goal. And there's all kinds of think small kind of processes that have been built sure. into like the way that we're as a firm going to operate. But if we didn't have this 52-week goal, but had a sure. one week big think big goal, we could still do the same thing. But I don't know if that version of big really applies to the way that we're trying to make it work here in this field note. Is this just for 52-week goals, or is there a one-week process in here?
No, I like the idea here of, well, first of all, think big. I mean, there was a great book called Think Big. I mean, there's the idea of having a noble vision can be the kind of thing that can move you in the right, motivate you to move in the right direction. You know, do you get out of bed for doing something that's sort of insignificant? Probably not, right? Mm-hmm. But if you have kind of an idea where this could be the thing that changes the world, now you could actually make a case that even having goals around Alex, the AI product that we have, is Alex the Think Big goal, or is it a goal within a larger goal to change the way that people think about leadership around the world, right?
Yes.
Because that's our goal has always been that we wanted to change the conversation around the way people think and talk about leadership. And when we started doing field notes 4 years ago, that was a year after we had actually, or at least, yeah, maybe a year after we launched our full platform, we were already trying to think about how to kind of get leaders around the world that when they think about leadership, that they say, you know, these people that admired leadership seem to have thought about this more than just about anybody, right?
Right.
So by doing a daily field note on leadership, we're putting out more, hopefully useful, free content to everybody. And so you have a lot of free content. You have things that are fairly inexpensive. You have things that are a little more expensive. You have some high-level coaching and engagements, and you go on these amazing retreats and go to places like in Porto, Portugal. And you're going to get better at any one level of that. But if all you can do is read field notes, you're still going to get a lot better. Great. We're going to change the world. Alex is a part of that. So that's a way of saying. Now, you have to then think about each one of those things, the goal, the challenges, the obstacles, the realistic nature of how people interact with AI in the workplace. You know, today I just read an article in the Wall Street Journal today about the resistance in corporate America from the workforce, not the CEOs. They're like, let's do a lot of AI stuff. And the people are going like, this is actually costing me more time than it's helping me. So you have to think through exactly how is your thing helping to change the biggest vision that you're doing. But then you know where you're going in the wrong direction, because again, you could be busy doing these build small, the old line, you can climb the ladder of success and find that it's leaning against the wrong wall. You get to the top and you go, oh, we went in the wrong direction. That happens all the time. I would say that's the consistent thing that I've seen is I'm looking at competitors or other, you know, in different fields that I've been in. I'm like, you go ahead, keep doing that. I don't think that's going to work out very well.
Yeah. No, so probably the most written about example of coaching of someone who did reach big after thinking small was Kirk Cignetti and the Indiana Hoosiers, right? So I do wonder, though, how often he
took 40-some years.
Right. I wonder how often he articulated the goal, though, right, to his team. Winning a national championship is not actually the goal for a coach like Kurt. It's like having the discipline of a team who wins, which is a slightly different thing, right? For him to emphasize the kind of discipline in the way that he did, right? And then it shows up on the number of pre-snap penalties that their team did not have, right? How often their defense was not drawn off sides, right? That kind of discipline shows up over and over again. But what he's trying to win a national championship. What he's really trying to do is put your head down and play like a national championship team, which is a little different.
A little different. Right.
So which of those two think big goals did he actually state more often, do you think? Right.
Yeah.
My tendency is to think he didn't talk about the national championship at all, but I don't know.
Yeah. Just play like a national champion. Let the score take care of itself once we do that. And you know, one of the interesting things I read, same edition of the Wall Street Journal, I think, and I read the physical copies of these papers as best I can, was for a guy that kind of had this long tradition and after, you know, kind of leaving Alabama, went back to the the college right here in Western Pennsylvania, where his dad coached, and he coached there for a long time at IUP. You know, he steadily was moving in this direction, but he wasn't stuck in a model that his dad set or was set 40 years ago. That he actually was very creative and very innovative about things that were happening in college football up to the minute. So very adaptive, very visionary around NIL, around all kinds of things in the trade transfer portals and all of that. So just because you're after something for a long time doesn't mean that you can be like, I just got to be steadily sticking to the plan that I had from 20 years ago. You may need to adapt that plan all the time.
Right.
And I think that's also a lesson from Cignetti.
Oh, yeah. And the build small part gives you the flexibility to do that, right? If you're constantly thinking, I'm not going to overinvest in one particular strategy because that's part of the build small.
Well, let me, and I know we're at time, and thanks to everybody that's hanging in that happens to be watching live right now, but let me just add this one, because I sometimes try to come back to certain stories that have been powerful to me. And so I sometimes reference the time when I was working in television here in Pittsburgh 30 years ago, and a C-suite executive from the Hearst Corporation came and said, we were talking about the beginning of the sort of blogosphere and all of that was, you know, building, and the digital world was building out. And he said, well, just because it's like when the settlers came to the United States and they could see the Rocky Mountains about 6 months before they got to the Rocky Mountains. And he said, just because the future is clear doesn't mean that it's near. And lots of people are going to kind of rush in and they're going to go all in on things thinking that it's going to happen next week or next month. And it's actually 5 years out and they're going to go bankrupt. They're going to fall apart. The partnerships are going to divide and we're going to go in and we're just going to buy up the remainders of the best stuff. That's what they said. Now, at the same time, I launched something in 2006 at that station that they said was visionary. It was a version of a live webcast. We had tens of thousands of viewers, and they were like, this is best practice. This is fantastic. And I said, okay, well, let's just keep doing it. And they're like, well, we're going to study it. Let's come back to that next year. And I was like, well, why study it? Because one of the things that's interesting here is you sometimes have a mentality in legacy media organizations like, we've got to build a new building and put up a new tower and we've got to build a new studio. And I was like, no, we're in a digital world where you can actually experiment and do things for free. There's no actual capital investment, right?
Right.
So part of that is the underlying this in the build small, which is, when you can be thoughtful and careful when there's a lot of investment, a lot of risk, a lot of potential danger, a lot of other people involved. But when there's things where you can say, let me just try this out. I think this is the right direction. I have a real logical belief in why this is the right direction. Well, now you can go ahead and experiment, right? Just start trying it. And just start building on that. And don't race, even like if you're, you know, you and I have been involved in many, many huge podcasts and also very small ones like this, where we're saying, let's just do a conversation that we really like, and then we'll just let it go wherever it goes, right? And don't worry about where the rest of that goes. But in the meantime, lots of people will say, I got to start a podcast, and how do I monetize this? And how do I, like, you're thinking about things way ahead of time.
Right,
you
know,
let that take care. You better be in it for a different reason than just figuring out that I got to get to this many listeners and have this much level of sponsorship and income. You know, that's not going to happen until you've actually created something that's of real value for yourself and for many, many other people.
Right. Great. Thank you. All right. Well, for those that are still listening, if you haven't gone over to the actual field note itself and given it a like, you'll help my prediction come true even faster than it is. So I'd appreciate that from you. Thank you, Scott.
I'll even do that. All right.
Oh, fantastic. All right. Bye now.